Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf. Bava Metzia Mantes, we are holding 12 lines off the top of the Amud. We begin with a story involving Rav Kahana. Yahavuli Zuzia Kitna. Rav Kahana received partial payment for a kitna, a flax delivery. So a customer offered him part payment, and it turned out that before the customer paid in full, the price went up. L'soif iyakir kitna. So Rav Kahana took partial payment, and then iyakir kitna, the material went up in price. And Rav Kahana was contemplating canceling the deal because it was not yet paid in full. Also committed Rav. He approaches Rav. Amar lei. And Rav responds as follows. Partway. You committed partially for the amount that you have received payment. B'mai de nikitas zuzi, the amount of flax on which you have already received payment, havlu, that you have to deliver at the original price. You can't change on that. Otherwise, you're exposing yourself to mishapara, right? That klala for a person who, you know, backs out on his words. So although technically the buyer had not yet acquired, had not yet done mishicha on the merchandise, but he had paid for it, and that binds the seller to a certain extent. So that amount, that's done. Havlu, that you should give them. V'idach. But regarding the rest of the order, well, dvar ninu, that's at most just, you know, verbal commitment, and you could cancel that. Udvarim ein bahen mishim mechusari amana. And with respect to verbal deals, there's no issue of lack of integrity. The itma, as we have learned, dvarim, if there was mere verbal commitment without actual payment, Rav Amar, don't worry about going back on that deal. Ein bahen mishim mechusari amana. If there's any reason to back out, there's no issue of lack of integrity. Rabbi Yechon Amar, yes, there is. Yesh bahen mishim mechusari amana. Is considered lacking integrity. And this was Rav speaking to Rav Kahana, and he paskened based on his personal opinion that if it's merely dvarim, it's okay. Asks the Gemara Meisvei. Here comes a kasha. Rabbi Yesi bar Yuda Eimer, Matam Eloi Mehin Tzedek. The pasuk tells you, keep your measurements accurate, honest. It says, Eifas Tzedek, which is a huge measurement. Hin Tzedek, which is a smaller measurement. It should be just, honest, accurate. And the question is, Valoi Hin Bechlal Eifa Hoya. Hin is a smaller measure than an Eifa. Once we mention Eifa, then Hin is included. It has to be accurate and real. Why repeat? Why mention Hin after already mentioning Eifa? Rashi says, an Eifa is 72 lug, and a Hin is only 12. Elul Emelech, to teach you like this, we have a drasha that just as you maintain accurate, honest weights and measurements, you're meant to keep your word as well. Elul Emelech, hey, Hain, we learn Hin as Hain. When you say yes, it's yes. When you say no, it's no. When you commit, it's binding. Elul Emelech, hey, Hain Shachat Tzedek, V'lav Shachat Tzedek. Yes is a yes, no is a no. Bottom line, the person is meant to feel bound by his words. How could Rav just allow him to back out from a verbal commitment? Amar Abayi, it's very different. Here, there was reason. It went up in price. He was going to lose his profit. But there, in the Brisa, was speaking about when you express your words, it should be genuine. That's what we're saying. At the time of verbalization, those words should be real. Amar Abayi, who? When the pasuk says, "Hein shachat tzedek, lav shachat tzedek, shlo yidaber echad bepe v'echad b'leiv," one must be careful not to, you know, be saying one thing and be thinking something else. But otherwise, if at the time he was real, he was genuine, there's no issue there. Even if later on he has to cancel due to, you know, new circumstances that have arisen. Meis ve'he comes another kasha. Shimon Aimer, ava mishamru talis koine dinar zav. So, when you swap a talis for a dinar zav, the kinyan on the talis, which is the object, versus the dinar, which is the currency, the kinyan on the object completes the deal. Ve'en dinar zahav koine talis, but the kinyan on the dinar zahav, which is considered the currency aspect of this equation, does not affect the talis. Mikal makam kach halachas, although that's the way it is, aval amru, but nevertheless, if a person backs out in the middle of a deal, misha para, right, macha dar hamabal, macha dar haflaga, hu asa li para, misha inoy emid b'divurayu, if he backs out, he's in trouble. And the brisa continues there, we had this yesterday, that if there was no actual payment or kinyan, just a verbal, you know, commitment, then he's not even liable to misha para, rather, we hold it against him somewhat. The lashon we used yesterday was, Ein ruach chachamim noichahimenu. Chachamim are not pleased with his actions. So bottom line is, even verbals carry consequences. Even dvarim are considered mechusari amana. If you just back out, you're lacking integrity. Tanoi, actually it's machlekes tanoi. It's not maisa. Rabbi Yochanan ben Masno, ben Masyo. He turned to his son, Shomer Livnoi, say, go out, go hire some workers for us. Halach u'pasak lemezaynis. Not only did he hire the workers, but he actually stipulated to them that he will provide their lunch. But he didn't specify what was on the menu. He left it in the dark. So when it comes to his father raised a red flag. Hold it. When he returned to his father, Amalai, his father, when upon hearing what he did and what he said and what he committed to, he said, "Nee, my dear son, afilo ata oyselhem kesuda shlema b'shata." You know, if you don't go back and quickly explain to them and stipulate what's on the menu, even if you're going to provide the most royal, exquisite, gourmet meal like Shlema HaMelech in his time of glory, lo yotzasay dechevascha imam, you're not going to fulfill your duty. You're not going to have fulfilled your obligation. They're always entitled to more because they're princes. Shnei bnei Avram, Yitzchak v'Yaakov, talking about Jewish laborers. They're the children of the Avos. They're entitled to the biggest and the best, the nicest meals. So quickly go back and clarify things before they drag you into bankruptcy. Ella actually aschil b'malacha, rather before they start working, before the work commences. Say v'emar lehem, go explain to them. Amanas she'enachem alai. True, I'll provide you lunch, but just a sandwich. On condition, you won't have any claim on me except for bare minimum. Ella pas v'kitnis b'levad, bread and beans. Now, we have a kash on the story. The fact is, he had already committed to them. And if verbal commitment is binding, how could the father instruct him to go back and back off on the deal? He already committed. Well, Shani Hasam, there it's very different. The payalim go five because the workers themselves, they never really, really felt a commitment. My Tommy, you know why? Because he was just an agent of the father. May the Yadi, they know full and well Dalavo Samach. He's relying on his father. And they know that, he can't really promise more than he can do. Asks the Gemara Yahi. So if that's their mindset, they're not really taking it seriously. Yahi afilu ischil b'mnachanami. So why do you have to rush back and catch them before they started working? Even after they began working, the commitment is not really set in stone because they themselves know that it's not committal. Answers the Gemara, no. Once they begin work, it's a fait accompli. They're samech das. Amru, they figure, meimar amar kamedi abo v'nichalei. Certainly the son went back to the father, he presented the conditions of employment, and he was okay with it, and he accepted it. The fact is, he allowed us to begin. So catch them before they begin working, and then you could undo it. So we had figured, the Gemara thought that we found a source that dvarim are not binding from the fact that he was able to change the menu, but ultimately we gave a different reason. It was attributed to the fact that they themselves did not feel that as a commitment, not take it as a commitment. Asks the Gemara, earlier we said that according to Rabbi Yochanan, even dvarim, even a verbal commitment, has to be adhered to. Umi amar b'yechan hachi. Is that so? That according to Rabbi Yochanan, if you back out from a verbal commitment, it's considered mechusar amana, lacking in integrity. V'amar rabba, v'amar chana, or b'yechan, hoymi l'chaveir. Reuben turns to Shimon. Matana ani nesin l'cha. You know what? I have a gift waiting for you. V'yachal achsar boy. He can go back on that. So first, we're focusing on the words. Yochel, he could, meaning halachically, there's nothing stopping him. Well, pshita, obviously, I mean, he didn't do a kinyan. What do you mean, yochel? Of course he could. Elamutalachsavoy, we mean to say that he's allowed to. There's no issues. It's not lacking in integrity. And this is who's speaking? This is Rabbi Yochanan speaking. Amra papa, depends how much you're promising. Here we're speaking about a large gift. Here it's not done until it's done. And therefore, being chayzer is not an issue. When Rabbi Yochanan says that you should not be chayzer from a verbal commitment, that's where it's a relatively minor amount. And, you know, the recipient sort of looks at it as a done deal. So there, you should not disappoint him and go back on your words. Hachi nami mistavra. I'll even prove that this distinction between, you know, the various amounts, it's a true distinction. The Amar Rabbi Yavo, Amar Rabbi Yechon. Once again, we quote Rabbi Yechon. Yisrael Shamar Lebein Levi. We have a Yisrael, a farmer, turns to a Levi. Kur maser yeshlecha biyadi. I'm engaged in the maser process, and actually, I like you. I want to give you the maser rishon, which amounts to a very large amount, a kur. It's sitting by me in the silo. I'm designating it for you. I'm earmarking it for you. Ben Levi, so now the Levi can be so assured that he's actually going to get that. Rashai la soy soy trumas maser amakim achar. He can actually proceed and use that for Truma's master, for some other maseration that he has elsewhere, from which he's required to separate a tenth called Truma's master and give it to the Kohen. He can rely on the maseration that was promised to him by the farmer, which is sitting in the farmer's possession, and use it as Truma's master for his own maseration. Now, this is all good and well if the farmer could not renege on his promise. So that assures the Levi that he's getting it. That's why he can proceed and use it as his Trumas Maser fund. But on the other hand, if in fact the farmer, after promising, can just cancel that promise, am I Rashai? So how could the Levi risk using that promised Maserishan for his Trumas Maser? It can turn out a big mistake, because if the Yisrael goes back on his promise, it never goes to the Levi, and the whole procedure is null and void, and the Levi had eaten tevel because he relied on that first from his master. So, what do we see from here? We see that Rabbi Yochanan is speaking, telling us this halacha, and the Yisrael cannot be chayzer. And Rashi explains that this is a matana mu'etes. It's called a minor gift. You know why? Although it's a huge amount, it's a kur. But in terms of what the Yisrael is giving up, it's a very little thing, because remember, the maserishin doesn't really belong to the farmer. He's meant to give it to the Levi. What does he have in it? What interest does he have in it? What ownership, so to speak, does he have? What stake does he have? It's called Toivas Hana'a. He has some sort of residual benefit because he can choose the recipient. He has that sort of, you know, favor, you know, benefit. He's going to be feeling that appreciation and reciprocation or whatever that's going to bring, right? So it's called Matana Mu'etes. He has a minor stake in this kur. And since he promised it to the Levi, he has to adhere to his promise, as per our distinction. And according to Rabbi Yochanan, by matan mu'etes, you're committed. Well, says the Gemara, who says? Hach ma'iskinan. Perhaps was speaking, shenot loy mimeno. First, the Levi already, he took possession of the maserishin, v'chazer of kidei etzon, he gave it back to the Yisrael to watch for him. So perhaps it was more than just a commitment, more than just varim. He actually took possession of the maserishin. Yochi, if that's the case, that Levi actually acquired it. Amos Seifa, let's move on to the next part of the halacha. Nosnidl ben Levi Acher. Let's say the farmer switched plans. He promised it to this Levi, then he decided to give it to a different Levi. That's it. Ein loy elav ela taraymus. The first levy can be very upset and have complaints, but that's it. Because the Yisrael changed his mind. 1 second. But if we're speaking like you're suggesting, Kigon should not let me mendu v'chazer if kidu etzlik. Levi already took possession of this maserishin. Am I ein loy elav ela taraymus? So when the Yisrael switched recipients, Levi can do nothing but complain. What do you mean? It's his. Given the mashke, mamoya is the gabe. Once he did mashicha, the Levi did. It's his. It's his mamon. It's his possession. Ela lav shmami, no, but not lav shmami. No, clearly, we're speaking that he did not do mashicha. It was merely promised to him by the Yisrael, and since it's matan mo'etes, he's expected to stick to his words. So, in summary, we had a story with Rav Kahana, who took partial payment for a shipment of kitna. It went up in price. He wanted to contemplate, you know, canceling the deal. Rav says you can on the rest, but not on the portion that was paid for. Over there, you're going to be running into a Misha Para. But regarding the rest, Rav holds Dvarim Ein Bahem Shem Chesur Amona. There's no issue. Contra Beichnan by Dvarim there is Chesur Amona, but the Gemara concluded that specifically by a Matan Mu'etes, there you have to stick to your words. How Gavra Diyoiv Zuzi Asum Simi. So there was another fellow who purchased shumshumi, sesame seeds. She paid for them without actually physically acquiring them. It turns out that the shumshumi went up in price before he had a chance to take possession. Hajibu, the sellers, backed out on the deal. Formally, they told them, sorry, we ran out of sesame today, less than shumshumi. Here, pick up your money, take back your money. He failed to pick up his money. Ignoiv, it turns out the money was stolen before he got a chance to get it. So he was responsible. Asulka made the rubber. It came to rubber. Amrlei, he says, look, Mr. Buyer, you were told to pick up your money. Kivan the Amrlecha, Shko Zuzach. They told you to pick up your money. Veloy Shaklis, you failed to do so. They're off the hook. They're not responsible. They didn't commit themselves to watch your money. Loy Mibaye, it goes without saying, Shemir Sachar Lehavi, that they're not considered Shemir Sachar. Certainly, they're not getting paid to watch the money. They're not even considered shemechinam. They don't even have the most minimum level of responsibility towards your money. So Rabban asked Rava, hold it. The seller is exposing himself to a mishapara because he had been paid for the items. And now he's backing out. Who said he's going to choose to go down that road? Maybe once he gets wind, he's made aware of the fact that he's exposing himself to a mishapar, he might decide to stick to the deal. In which case, the money is considered his. So why do you say he's totally not responsible for that money? Armul Husi says, you're right. Hachinami is true. It's up to him. If he decides that he wants to proceed, of course he's responsible. But otherwise, he's not responsible. Amr a puppy. Right, so Rashi explains, so basically, either he delivers the shumshimim or he gets the mishapara. I mean, yeah, it is up to him. Amar Papi. Papi had a different version of this whole story. And he had a reliable source to tell him that. Amar li Ravina. Ravina told me that what? L'didi Amar li. Hahum Rabban. Ravina is speaking now. This certain chacham had relayed to me. And what was that Chacham's name? Rav Tavis Shmei. But Amrilo, some say his name was Rav Shmuel Bar Zutra Shmei. And he was a very honest, a man of integrity. Even if somebody would offer him kol chol dalma, the whole world, the whole wide world, he would never lie. He wouldn't deviate from the truth. And this Chacham, this honest man, he was the subject of this story. The story occurred with me. And the story actually took place a bit differently than our earlier version. So it was a certain day, Apanyo de Mali Shabbat Hava. It was Erev Shabbos, towards evening. I was sitting in my house. This fellow shows up. He's standing by the doorway. Amrli asks me, wouldn't you have some sesames to sell for the chalas? Amrli, I told him, sorry, I'm out of stock. Amrli, he says, you know, could you do me a favor? You see, I'm holding the money, I'm running to shul. It's getting dark. Please, would you mind holding on to my money? Amrali, I said, look, look, my house is here. You know, do as you please. The fellow put the money in the house. It got stolen. I never really took responsibility. I offered my house. Also, I'll commit the rubber. So he comes to Rava. Amalei says, you're right. Kol ha beisa kamach. Whenever you say such an expression, just house, my house is yours, it means what it means. Needless to say that he's not a Shem Mesochot. He's not responsible. So there was no deal. There was no going back on deals. Chas v'shalom. Just a straightforward story. An offer to buy. He was out of stock, etc. I asked Rapapa speaking. Rapapa saying, look, I heard another version from Ravina regarding a whole different type of story. So I turned to Ravina and I said to him like this. Remember, according to the first version, there was a whole back and forth. Rabbanan asked Rava, how could you absolve him of responsibility? What happened to the Mishapara commitment? Right? That sounds like there was some sort of reneging on a deal. Right? So how can you say? And Ravina told me, look, according to my version, it never happened. No, there was no back and forth with Rava because, as we said, there was never a commitment. There was never a sale. There was never anything like that. Okay. Rabbi Shimon Omer Kol Shakesa Biyodai Yoda Al Yoina. So back to our Mishnah, back in the beginning of Azov. Payment does not close a deal. Meshicha on the item does. Until that happens, according to Tanakam, everybody can change their minds. According to Rabbi Shimon, Kol Shakesa Biyodai Yoda Al Yoina, which sounds like only the seller, the fellow who actually took payment, he can change his mind if he sees the need to do so, if a price goes up, whatever, but not the buyer. And according to one explanation, the point was that the Chachamim hold that, you know, this whole Mashiach requirement is only to protect the interests of the buyer in case a fire breaks out, so the seller should feel committed. It's giving him an incentive to protect the grain of the buyer still sitting in the seller's storeroom. What's the incentive? Look, if the price goes up, he can go back on the deal and earn more profit. So he has an interest in protecting those items. And likewise, allowing the lekeach, the buyer, to change his mind, will do the same, because when he sees the fire raging, he'll change his mind, he'll just cancel the deal. So that gives the meicher incentive to protect the items. Reb Shimon says, no, we don't need to go that far. As long as the meicher has that ability, that's enough. Tanya, here comes another brice, another instance where Rav Shimon holds you cannot be chaser, you cannot cancel a deal after money had been paid. Amar Rav Shimon, emasai, when is there a halacha that you can be chaser after payment? Bizman shakesef ba'piris bi'ad moicher, when both the money and the piris are sitting in the hands of the seller. Al kesef bi'ad moicher, u'piris bi'ad lekeach, but if the money is already in the hands of the seller and the piris in the hands of the buyer, inu yach lachzabah, he cannot change his mind. Because the money is in his hands. In whose hands? In the buyer's hands? I thought it's in the seller's hands. Typically, money is in the seller's hands. He paid for it, right? Oh, he meant the items received in exchange for the money. Dmei kaspa is biyada, is already in the hands of the lekeach. Hold it. If it's in the hands of the lekeach, then of course it's a done deal. He did meshicha. There's nothing to talk about. Pshita. Amar Rava, hach of my skin, was speaking about a unique case. The lekeach paid for the grain. Where is the grain sitting? The seller had rented the lekeach's warehouse. So technically, the grain is sitting in close proximity to the lekeach, but halachically it's still in possession of the seller because it's sitting in the rented to the seller, to the meicher. We're speaking about the upper floor, just an example, of the lekeach's premises were rented out to the meicher to the seller, to the dealer. Meiskeres biad meicher. So you have a situation where the lekeach is sitting in his house, and the grain that he purchased is sitting on the next floor, but technically it's in the hands of the, it's in possession of the dealer, because that area, that those premises were rented to the sell, to the dealer. But Mashiach was not yet done. It's sitting in the rishus of the meicher. And here, Rav Shimon says, you should know this is an exception to the rule. Typically, chazor is allowed, but here not. Why? Time or might? Because the whole rationale behind chazor is to protect the lekeach's interests, right? So the meicher has an incentive to protect it from fire, which is not really relevant in this case, because lekeach is sitting right there. If there's any trouble, he'll save his items. Time or might? Kin rabban Mashiach. Why did rabban make a takana for Mashiach? Basically, until Mashiach, it's not a done deal. Like we said, right? Because there's a concern that the meicher might not have the incentive, might not be spurred to go and protect the lekeach's property. But here it doesn't apply. There's no concern. Here it's sitting in the lekeach's property. Enough for like a bonus. If there's an accidental fire, he'll take care of his grain. So there's no reason to make chazara. How gavad was the story of a fellow diyov zuzi achamra. He paid for a shipment of wine. If it turns out shama that he hears the kaboy leminzavay dve parzik refila, it's about to be taken to Mr. Parzik, who was a Mishnah Lamech vice president. They're gonna exappropriate the wine. He had paid for it already, but not done mashicha yet. Amrli havli zuzi. So this customer turns to the dealer, "Could I have my money back? I have no need for the wine." Can he do that? He comes to Rav Chizda and he says, "Yeah." Amrli, he says, "Kedera shetiknu mashicha b'meicher." Just as a chachamim allow a meicher to renege if you know the price goes up, kach tiknu mashicha b'lekuchayis. The same privilege, the same ability was given to lekeach. He can cancel a deal until he does Mashiach. Continues the Mishnah regarding the topic of Oyna'a. One is not allowed to cheat during Mecha Chamemka, during business transactions. So it goes both ways. The Meicher, the seller, should be careful not to overcharge, not to cheat his customer. And the buyer as well should not be cheating the seller by underpaying for an item. Now, there are three levels to Oyna. If the discrepancy between the real value and the charged value is less than a sixth of the total, then it's presumed to be, you know, part of the deal, you're Meichel. And there's no claim, claim on that. If it's more than a sixth, cancels the deal. Bitul Mekach. If it's exactly a sixth, the deal stands, but you have to, you know, pay that back, you have to compensate for that. For that amount, we'll see that in the Gemara and the Sugya, a lot of details. But in a nutshell, that's the formula to work with. The sixth is what triggers the Oyna. Says the Mishnah, Oyna arba o kesef. What constitutes Oyna? Four coins out of 24. Me'esrim v'arba o kesef l'sela. The Rashi explains it. You have a sela, which contains 4 dinar. A dinar contains 6 ma'is. So a seller has 24 ma'is. If you cheated him with 4, you overcharge, you undercharge, 4 kesef out of 24, that's called a no. You have cheated him. Shtus l'mekach. So the halacha of a no kicks in because it's a sixth of the deal. Ad mosay mutal achser. So you buy something, you realize that you were overcharged. How long do you have? How much time do you have to come back and complain? There must be some sort of, time limit. Yeah, ad kadei sheyara l'targar l'kroiva, enough time to allow the customer to show it to some sort of dealer that he trusts, who will give him an honest evaluation, or a relative, right? Hoyra Rabbi Tarfon b'Lud, Rabbi Tarfon issued the following psak in the city of Lud. Rashi says there they had real... sharp businessmen who would try to overcharge and make the most they could. So he increased the Oyna. Instead of merely a sixth, he said until an eighth it's not an issue. Hoino shmoina kesef. Sorry, he said until a third, which allows them to earn more. Shmoina kesef. It's 8 kesef, me'esrim ba'abo kesef, out of 24, the sella. So basically, a sella is 24, and if you have cheated him by 8, which is a third, shlush lamekach, a third, you're in trouble. So he gave them a bigger leeway, and they're very excited. The dealers and Lud are very overjoyed. Omar Lambert, he says, hold it. There's a downside too. There is a string attached. Instead of limiting the refund, time, as we said before, to allow him to show his relative, well, that's a very small, short amount of time, he expanded that. The customer has all day to come back and complain. Amulei, they said, no. We're giving up on the privilege and we're giving up on the expanded, refund period. Let us stay where we are. So they were pleased with their old system, like the Chachamim, which gives them a smaller margin of profit, right? A sixth is already a Noah, but it limits the Zman of Chazorah, which makes it less probable that they'll be caught in time. So now when we speak about a sixth being the threshold for a Noah, how do we define a sixth? You can learn it two ways. Either a sixth of the value of the item that you purchased, or a sixth of the total deal, the total amount paid. So which one is it? Machlek is Rav and Shmuel, Itman. Rav Amar Shtus Mekach Shanino. A sixth denotes a sixth of the value of the item. Meaning, let's say the item was worth $6, and you only charged $5. Right? So that's a shtus. Right? So the Meicher was cheated. If he overcharged, he went from 6 to 7. So now the customer overpaid by a sixth. According to Rav, it's about the item's value. Shmuel Amar, that's one way to look at it. Shmuel Amar, there's another aspect as well. Shtus Mois Nami Shaninu. It can work one of two ways. Either a sixth of the value of the item, or a sixth of the total amount paid. That's also called Aino. And the Gemara explains. So in the next two cases, it's pretty clear. There's no machlekes. All agree that it kicks in. Let's say the item was worth 6. Shavei shita. B'chamish only charged 5. Which is 6 less. So whether it's Rav or Shmuel, they both agree there is a no. The seller was cheated. Or shavei shita b'shiva. Alternatively, it was a $6 item for which he paid 7. Here the buyer lost the sixth. Kuli amo le pligi the basar mekach hazlin. All agree. He focused on the item's value. Vaynoa havia, and certainly the dinah vaynoa applies. There's no machlekes. Keep pligi. Machlekes applies in the following case. Shavi chamisha b'shita was worth $5. He overcharged. He went up to sixth. So now let's think. According to Shmuel, he overcharged him a sixth of the total payment. Ultimately, he paid him 6. And one of that was the Aino, the cheap part. Right? So that's a regular Aino. But according to Rav, it's more than a sixth. If you focus on the item's value, which was merely 5, going from 5 to 6 is more than a sixth discrepancy. So here it's more than a sixth. And now it takes you to the next level. Bitul Mekach. We learned before that if it's more than a sixth, the whole deal gets cancelled. So depending on your perspective, depending on what you're focusing on, hence the ramifications. And likewise, the next case, Vishavi Shiva Bishita. Here we have the seller being cheated. He took an item worth 7, mistakenly sold it for 6. So what happens? According to Shmuel, discrepancy was 1 coin. Ultimately, he paid him 6. So 1 out of 6 is a no. According to Rav, it's less than a sixth. Because in terms of total item value, which was 7, 1 out of 7 is less than a sixth. So it's mechila. And the Gemara explains. The Shmuel, according to Shmuel's opinion, the Amar Basam Mois Azlinan, who also focuses on the percentage of the total paid amount, so the last two cases, both are Aino. It's exactly a sixth. L'Rav, the Amar Basam Mekach Azlinan, according to Rav, it's a sixth of the item's value. So it's a totally different ballgame. Shavi Chamisha B'Shita, when it was an item worth 5 sold for 6. So if you look at the item's value, which was 5, the added 6, the added $6 is really more than a 6 of 5. Vitul Mekachavi. So the whole deal gets cancelled. Whereas in the second case, Shavi Shiva Bishita, when it was a $7 item sold for 6, where the seller is losing, but he undercharged them by $1. 1 out of 7 is less than a 6th. Mechila havi. It has a din of mechila. With Shmuel, my Shmuel responds, no. It's all the same thing. It's Aynah. Either factor triggers Aynah, whether it's a 6th of the item's value or a 6th of the total amount. Either way, it works. Ki amina mechila ubitul mekach. When do we say less than a 6th is negligible and just, you know, falls by the wayside, or more than a sixth is bitul mekach, cancels the deal. Heichad alekah shtus mishnei tzedakah, but there's no element of a sixth, nothing. Not as per the item's value, not as per total paid. Aval heichad ikah shtus mitzad echad. I know how you. But if there's any element of shtus, anything, either or, either a sixth of the item's value, or a sixth of the total paid, that constitutes a no. Okay, so again, the classic case of Aynah pertains to a sixth, whether overcharged or undercharged, right? According to Rav, it's a sixth of the item's value. According to Shmuel, either item's value, either that, or a sixth of the total paid amount. Tanan, let's go back to our Mishnah and see how it fits with, you know, Rav and Shmuel. Aynah dalt kesef, me'esrim barbo kesef l'selosh tos l'mekef. So Aynah is 4 out of 24. And the Mishnah calls it a sixth, right? Shtus l'mekach. My love, the Zavin Shavi, Eshrim Barbo. We're assuming that he purchased an item worth 20, Shavi Eshrim, and he paid for 24. So the Lekeach overpaid. By how much? By 4. But what percentage is 4 out of 24? A sixth. That's only because you're looking at the total amount paid. Ushmamino shtus mois namishanino. This is right to Shmuel. Since 4 is a sixth out of the total amount that was paid, which was 24, that constitutes a no. It doesn't work like Rav. According to Rav, we have to look at the item's value, which was merely 20, and 4 of 20 is more than a sixth, a fifth. Lo, he says, well, no, the zav and shavi esrim abo, the other way around. The item was worth 24, and he only paid 20 for it. Minas anamoicha, and the seller is the one who got cheated here. And this certainly is a shtus, even according to Rav, because the item was worth 24. He was cheated an amount of a 4, which was a 6 of 24. Okay, fine, let's assume that's the Pshat Mishnah. Let's consider that. But the thing is, let's continue. Amos Seif. Mishnah continues. Amotai admosa mutal achser. How long do we wait for the fellow to realize the mistake? Give him enough time to show it around. That's only true. A customer has that time frame. But the seller, if he was cheated, his time is not limited. There's no deadline there. A few more later will explain the reason for this. So clearly, the Mishnah, which sets forth this limited chazara time frame, is speaking about who was cheated. The lekeach was cheated, so you can't suggest that the Mishnah speaks about the meicher being cheated. Ella, rather, the zavin shavi esrim barbo beesrim etzmanya. Oh, so rather like this, we'll try to reconcile the Mishnah according to Rav by switching the numbers again. What the Mishnah meant was that he took an item which was worth 24 and he bought it at 28. He overpaid by 4 coins. But 4 of 24, which was the value, original, real, genuine, real value of the item, is a sixth. And that works according to Rav's walk, the sixth of the item. So the Mishnah can work either like Rav or like Shmuel, depending how we learn the Mishnah. Tanan, let's move on to the next part of the Mishnah. We're going to have the same back and forth. Hoyder, instead of speaking about a sixth, Ratafen made it into a third, but it's going to be the same sort of back and forth. Hoyder, Ratafen, Beloid, Hoynosh, Mine, Kesef, Me'esim, Rabo, Kesef, Lasel, Shlish, Lamekach. You change it from a sixth to a third. I know is 8 coins, 8 out of 24, which is a third. Again, what happened here? How much was the item worth? How much was it sold for? My love was speaking to Zovin Shavishit, Ribesh Rabo. He purchased an item which was really worth 16 for 24. He overpaid by a third. And clearly, when we speak about percentages, we're speaking about percentage of the total amount paid. Because the item was really worth only 16, and he overpaid by 8. So calling it a third evidently is related to the total amount paid. That's right to Shmuel. Loi, no, that's not what happened. The Zovin Shavi Esrim Abob Shitzer. The other way. The seller was the one who was short-ended. He sold an item worth 24 for 16. Minus an Amoicher. The Amoicher got the Aino. He was cheated. And 8 is a third of the actual value, which is Aino, like Rav too. Okay, so the Meicher is in trouble. Amos Seifel, let's move on to the next part of the Mishnah, which indicates that the Lekech, the one who's suffering. Amr Lemer, Kol Yom Mutalachzer. So he said you can, you know, come back all day and complain. Amr Avnachm Lishonah, it's only true of the Lekech, but the customer of a Meicher, the Meicher has forever. So clearly we're not speaking about the Meicher being cheated. The Mishnah is speaking about the Lekech. Ella, rather, we got to go like this. The Zavon Shavi Chavdal Ptosim Etrein. The animal was worth 24, and he bought it for 32. He overpaid by 8. But 8 is really a third of the item's actual value, which was 24. So it fits with Rav as well. Tanikav Esei to Shmuel. We're going to have a right from a Brisa to Shmuel. That the Eino can be measured vis-a-vis the total amount that was paid as well. Tanikav Esei to Shmuel. Mishut Olav. We have a seller and a buyer. So whichever one of these two parties who was cheated, Yodai Al-Yon, he has the upper hand. And this is actually going with another Shita, Rabbi Danasi, who says that when you were cheated or overpaid, underpaid or overpaid a sixth, then you have a choice. You have two options on hand. Either you can demand that, you know, that money back, or you can cancel a deal. That's his Shita. Yodai Al-Yon, Ketzad, for instance, Machalei Shava Hei Bevav. So the seller went up in price. He overcharged. An item worth 5, he charged the sixth. Who lost on the deal? Who was cheated? Minasana Lekech. And stop for a second. We're considering this Aino because there was a sixth discrepancy. Now, why is it only a sixth? The item was worth 5. And he charged him an extra dollar. That's more than a sixth. The answer is we're going like Shmuel. Total paid amount was 6. One of which was the cheat amount, they know. That's a 6. A constitutes they know. It's right to Shmuel. So bottom line is Yad Lekech Al-Yon, the customer has the upper hand. He can choose his options. Ratzah, if he wishes, I say he can ask for that discrepancy back. Take the full money back, cancel the deal. Or Tengli Mashay Nisani, refund me the difference. Mocharloi Shavim Sheish B'chamish. Let's say he sold him an item worth 6 and he only took 5 for it. Minus ana meicher, who lost on the deal, the meicher, yad meichel yoin. The meicher has the upper hand, he can choose his options. Ratzo emulatin mikhi, oitain li mashe nisani. He can either ask for his item back or the cheated amount. Okay, so in today's daf we learned about Rav Kahana's story with the flax. He was advised by Rav to stick to part of the deal, the part that he was paid for, otherwise he's susceptible to the Misha Parah curse. Regarding the rest, Rav Paskin, he can just go back on that. There's no issue of integrity. Rabbi Yechon disagrees, at least when it comes to a Matanamu Etes. Your word is your honor, you have to stick to it. We have the story about the fellow who officially sold the, committed to the sesame deal. We have two versions of that story. We have Rav Shimon's Halacha about cases where you cannot renege on a deal even before Mashiach. Now we proceeded to the sugi of Aino. which is typically pertaining to a sixth, a discrepancy of a sixth. It can go both ways. It can be an overcharge. It can be an undercharge. So how to define a sixth, the Machlekes Rav and Shmuel, and we'll continue with Hashem tomorrow. All the best to you. Hatzlacha Rabba.